This is HPR episode 2693 entitled Getting Started with Web-Based Game in Haskell and Elm. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto and is about 19 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is First Steps in Writing for X Space Exploration Game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, listeners of the Hacker Public Radio. This is Tuukka, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about the game programming with Haskell and Elm. I have been working on a small game, web-based game, for a bit now, and thought that it might be a fun idea to record sort of a audio diary and tell what I have learned and what my plans have been and what kind of problems I have had this and shared with the listeners of the Hacker Public Radio. I'm doing this because I don't have plans to make a complete game. This is more of a learning experience. I'm a person who learns by doing, and making simple games has always been my preferred way of learning new things about programming. I started that when I was a tiny kid, I think 7 or so, when I started writing text adventures, and I have been doing it since then. So the game I have been working on is a browser-based multiplayer space exploration game. That's a mouthful, but the idea is that there's a game that is running constantly. It's a turn-based in a sense, but the turns don't wait the players. They are automatically done every 24 hours or so. And regardless of what you have done, or regardless of if the player has given his input or not on a certain turn, the turns are evaluated. And I'm writing this with a Haskell, Jesot mainly, and a little bit of Elm. And I was really lucky in a sense that it's easier to change things than to create from nothing. And Jesot comes with a stack template. Stack is that Haskell build tool, configuration tool. But the stack comes with a Jesot template, so I can just call a stack. I think it was stack template something. I checked that, put it on the show notes. But it will create a scaffolded Jesot project. That's a fully fledged Jesot website that has a. It doesn't have much of content, but it has a menu. It has a breadcrumbs. It has a authentication. Authorization, things like these basic things are in place. So it was easy for me to just create a project from there, then start adding on that. Just delete the demo pages and start adding there. And the plan is basically just to keep changing that demo page that came with the Jesot until the game is ready, or until I lose the interest or decide that there's something else I'd rather do. So the idea is that the players can change their orders anytime. So at any given moment they can log in the page, they can see what's the current situation for them, they can give orders to the, for example, planets or the ships or whatever I end up adding in the game, and they can revert those orders and give new orders. But when the turn ends, the system will simulate what would happen, or rather what will happen when all these orders are taken into account, and it will create a new sort of a new state of the world, and then the players can again view and see what's the state and how things have been progressing, read the news and stuff, and keep giving orders. Or maybe they just decide that some certain orders are still valid, let's not change these. For example, some planet has been ordered to do scientific research and the player feels that this is a good idea, so just keep doing, no need to change that. And originally I wanted to make this whole thing to run completely on the plain HTML and just a tiny amount of client-side scripting, just as a challenge basically. But at some point I realized that this is not going to cut it, and I will need to write the client completely on the Elm. But at the start, the client was basically just a dump HTML pages, a little bit forms here and there. But and that's as of the moment I'm recording that's still work in progress thingy, the writing the client on the Vita Elm. And let's talk about a little bit about the idea of the game more. I wanted to add a little twist into the game in a way that each player belongs to a faction, like they have their own group, and one faction can have more than one player. I haven't figured out how players are divided between factions and how can they move between them and if they can move between them. And the planets and ships and basically everything don't belong to the players, but they belong to the faction. At least that's the current idea. And this hopefully gives an interesting dynamic in the game, in a sense that there's always a group of people. Sometimes this group of people is a one, sometimes it's a bigger, that are managing this, whatever you want to call it, space empire, space republic, space something that has the planets, and they in between themselves have to somehow decide what needs to be researched. Research is going to be a big part of the game, because in the beginning you can barely fly a spaceship and you have to start researching bigger spaceships and better technologies and better sensors and do some basic research and then do some applied research and then decide where to spend all the resources. And at the same time you also have to manage your planet. You have to keep the population fed, keep them reasonably happy, maybe have them do some meaningful things to do, maybe do some planet-based exploration instead of space exploration, because planets are huge. Like, that. Well, if you look around and see that how big Earth, for example, is, and how in the space game it's usually just a one hex and there's a couple numbers and there isn't much to do on a planet, on a space game. I kind of want to change this a little bit. So if you find a new planet and you land there and you set an outpost there and start living there, obviously you need to have a planet-based explorations that you can go around and roam on the planet and try to see if there's anything interesting to find there. And all this needs to be managed as a group of people, not single player, but group of players. If I ever have a group of players, that is. And if I ever have a playable game, that is. That's a couple big ifs. But that might give an interesting dynamic if there's some planetary lord who has decided that I want to explore the planet, I don't want to spend my meager resources to go to the space, and in the same faction there's some another guy who is in charge of the solar system, star system, and is thinking that where those planets are, and his opinion is that we need to explore the space, so why don't you help me with this goal? So it might create nice dynamic there, or not, I don't know, it's just an idea, basically. But that's basically the idea of the game. And back-end written the Haskell front-end HTML, later Elm code, some REST interface in between, and all the data, of course, all that stuff needs to be stored somewhere. So I was thinking all kinds of ideas here, but then I decided that probably is the easiest if I go with a simple relational database, because that's the things that I know fairly well, that probably isn't going to give me any big surprises, although there was already a surprise. And I talked about that a little bit later, but I didn't want to do any Cosmos DB or MongoDB or whatever, because while I have an idea about those technologies, I'm not that familiar with them, and I didn't want to have too many new things to learn, because this Haskell Elm is going to be plenty enough, because I have been playing a little bit with them, but I have never ever written anything big, and sometimes it's really frustrating to work with the Haskell, because while it's a really fun language, it's not too complicated, they say, but the concepts are sometimes, they're just completely different what I have what I'm used to, so it's really hard to sometimes to work around some things, and sometimes there's really interesting surprises, like I'm using JSON comes with a persistent for the database access, which is really nice library, and I thought that would be enough for me, but then soon I learned that the persistent can't do joins. You cannot join two tables and query data from both in a one query. There's some good reason behind that. I think that's due to the fact that persistent supports various different kinds of backends, so they have to go with the minimum set of features that is available for all of those. And then this I worked around by learning that there's a SQL wrapper, which is another library for accessing databases, but SQL is not in the stack yet. The stack is, like I mentioned, that build management tool that also comes with curated packages. So if you all the packages that are available in the stack are guaranteed to some degree to work together, so it's easy to pick the version from the stack, because you know that if I use this version of the library, all these other libraries will work together with it. But SQL isn't on the stack. So that I had to get from the GitHub directly. I just basically in my configuration say that this library doesn't come from the stack, but it comes from the GitHub or Git repository. And it's this specific commit that you need to pick. And how did I pick the specific commit? I took the latest version from the master and decided that if this compiles, it's probably good enough. And so far, it has been good enough. But yeah, so data stored in the database. Haskell, no, sorry, JSON has this nice code-first approach on the database. There's a model.config file where you write up, where you describe what kind of entities you have, and JSON will, based on that information, generate your database for you. It even has some automatic migration tools. They are very rudimentary. They are good enough for the development, but you cannot use those in the with the real production environment. You have to do the migration by hand. If and when your database changes, you have to do those changes by hand and think your specific cases how the data needs to change, if it needs to change. Some data I have, I don't know if I have to, but I came to the conclusion that I have to store as a JSON in the database. It's not optimal. You cannot do meaningful searches into JSON data that is stuffed in somewhere in the database. But that seemed to, when I was doing this, seemed to be the approach that gave me least hassle. This is related to the algebraic data types. So I can have a data type that has very different looking data. Like I can have a it's all the same type in the Haskell, but it can be look really different. And if you were to map it into the relational database as a rows and columns and stuff, you could end up with multiple tables, making queries really hard. So I just decided to serialize that those things into the JSON, store them into the database, be done with that. I cannot query that data. I cannot change that data easily. Basically, it's always a replace operation. I could take this data and replace it with this version of the data, but I'm happy with that. So this is basically the state of the database stuff for myself. And like I said, the JSON comes with the authentication out of the box. I'm using the development environment, the very simple version where I have just a simple text box where I can write that. It asks when you go to the page, who are you, and you just type your user ID there, press the login, and then you log in as that user, no password, no security whatsoever. But that's good enough for me for the development. I haven't looked into the email password combination authentication, or into the OAuth, or any of those what people are more used to. But I know that JSON can do that, so I don't have to worry about that now. I'm just concentrating now on getting the very basic blocks into place and get the whole thing off the ground, so I can, like I said, it's easier to change something than it is to create something from the nothing. So my goal currently is to just create something that I can later start changing. As long as there's first step is to have a player faction for the player, a planet where they can be. Planet, of course, needs to be in a solar system, star system, and the star system has to have one or more stars, and on a planet there can be buildings, like farms for producing food, and maybe some research stations producing research points, and so on. That's the first step I want to concentrate. Okay, I'm going to call this off now and going to start coding little bit, and I'll get back to this when I have some more to talk about. So, have a good one. Cheers.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.